This past week, we closely watched the weather radar to see where Hurricane Ian was headed. I certainly watched it, and such information was very helpful, especially for those in harm's way. Well, today we're going to look at the radar, so to speak, to see if there's anything out there that may be able to harm us, to come between us and God's love for us. Our passage, as I've already indicated, comes from Romans chapter 8. Here we have in this chapter, if we could give it a broad title, the Christian's Declaration of Freedom. You know, one thing, one of many things that we have in Christ is that the Son shall make you free, ye are what? Free indeed. And we see here in this passage of Scripture four spiritual freedoms that we enjoy because of our union with Christ, because of His love for us. In verses 1 through 4, we find freedom from condemnation. We see in verses 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And then in verses 5 through 17, we find freedom from defeat. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. That sounds like being defeated, right? But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. Live. And then in verses 18 through 30, we find freedom from discouragement, and how often life can cause us to be discouraged. But we see in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. What an antidote for discouragement. And then in verses 31 through 39, we find freedom from fear. And we already read a couple of the verses, but last week, if you were with us, we looked at verses 35 through 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And then the verses this morning, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That should even cause a Baptist to shout, amen? Friends, Christ's love for you and me, which never fails, preserves us. And so we don't have to be afraid. We live in a world filled with fear. We have events happening around us that cause us, humanly speaking, to fear. God, what is going to happen? My God shall supply all your what? Needs, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's legitimate fear. But perfect love casts out fear. And we have a God, ladies and gentlemen, who loves us. And we're going to look at that love this morning. It's a deep, vast, and conquering love. And His love is such that it wins our hearts. Have you ever had someone that you maybe really didn't even know, or if maybe you knew, but you didn't really know well, and then you got to know them, and you got to sense, oh, this is a pretty good person, pretty good guy, pretty good gal, and their love, their kindness, their affection to you did what? It won over your heart to them. And you become a friend of that person. Why? Because of the love that they showed to you. Friends, God shows, demonstrates, commends His love to you and to me. Love, His love wins our hearts. And how wonderful to have a heart that's been conquered by God's love. Well, today we'll conclude this study of the preserving strength of Christ's love, which delivers us from fear. And we have 2 points, and they're very simple this morning. First of all, the understanding how Paul describes this love. And then we want to make application to those of us who are the recipients of this love. All right, first of all, we have the truth of this love. Paul asserts in verse 38, "For I am persuaded," and that's a very strong word. The verb here is in the perfect tense, which means I have already been persuaded. I stand completely convinced because of both revelation and experience that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And therefore, I confess with Paul, I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded, it's the same Greek word, that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Friends, Paul had deep roots of conviction about the fact that God, through his Son, loves me. And it is very important for us to be able to say this very same thing about God's love in Christ for us, that I too am convinced. Are you convinced that God, through his Son, loves you? I think we get a little wishy-washy there, don't we? Especially when the difficulties of life come. We wonder, well, God, where are you? Why is this happening to me? Are you convinced, completely convinced, that Jesus loves you? If you're not, you need to pray, Lord, help me to come to that spiritual understanding. You know, strong Christians have strong convictions. Weak Christians have weak convictions. And one of those convictions that needs to be strong is I am persuaded that Jesus loves me. So where Paul is convinced, you and I also need to be convinced of this amazing love that Jesus loves me too. Oh, how he loves you and me. And then Paul gives examples of how persuaded and how convinced he is. And he uses the extremes of the universe to prove that there is nothing that can possibly divorce us from the love of God. Paul first goes to the extreme of existence, where he states that death cannot separate us from Christ's love. And what is death? It's something that we experience last in our earthly life, which separates us from many things, from family members, from our body, from our work. But this greatest enemy we have, death, Paul calls it the last enemy we have, cannot separate us from Christ's love, for Jesus has transformed death's sting from defeat to victory. And we sang, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Which means, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Death is evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Friends, for the believer, death is a passing shadow. And so how precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then continuing under the extreme of existence, Paul argues that life cannot separate us from Christ's love. Now, when we think of life, something positive usually comes to mind. But dangers lie in our present earthly life, which are candidly called tribulations, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. But because of our earth eternal life in Christ, these threats against our present life are empty. I love our Lord's assuring and comforting promise in Hebrews 13, verse 5, where he states, I will never leave you nor forsake you, which enables us to boldly say, Lord, you are my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Then second, Paul goes to the extremes of created spiritual beings and human beings. For example, he stresses first that angels and principalities cannot separate us from the love of Christ. And Paul's reference to angels presupposes a purely hypothetical and really an impossible situation, for clearly angels would not try to undo God's relationship with his redeemed ones. Amen? They are ministering spirits. And what angels would not do, principalities, powers, demons, evil beings, human rulers of this world cannot do. Now, principalities refer to one-third of the angels that fell with Lucifer, Satan, when he sinned, and they thereafter became demonic spirits, Satan's minions, his servants. But friends, nothing that a demon can do can separate us from the love of God in Christ. You know, a demon can oppress you, but a demon cannot possess you. And we can put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the what? The wiles of the devil. Now, the Greek word for powers is dunamis, which is the ordinary Greek word for power, and it often refers to miracles or mighty deeds. But here, it is used figuratively of people in positions of power and authority. And so the point here is no supernatural created being or persons in positions of authority and power can sever our relationship with Christ. And for these Romans, it meant neither Caesar nor the armies of Rome could sever that relationship. Friends, the love of God in Christ is strong. And then Paul, thirdly, mentions the extremes of time by saying things present and things to come, which represent everything we are now experiencing. What are you experiencing right now? Everything that you're experiencing right now, and everything we will yet experience in the unknown times to come, cannot separate us from the love of Christ. And then fourth, Paul mentions the extremes in space, height, and depth, and declares that these astronomical terms, the highest point or zenith of a star's path, and then its lowest point, meaning nothing overhead and nothing underneath, can suddenly come swooping down or up to sever believers from God's love. And then fifth, to make sure that all the bases have been covered, that there's no doubt that Christ's security is all-encompassing, Paul adds, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Since only God is uncreated, everyone else and everything else is included. Friends, there is no thing, there is no one anywhere at any time in creation that can thwart God's purpose for those in Christ. Again, nothing and no one can separate us from Jesus' love. Do you believe that? If you don't, you're going to walk out of here in fear. And fear has torment. But if you believe that God, through Jesus Christ, loves me, and there's nothing that can sever that love, wow, that gives you strength and hope and encouragement and comfort. How omnipotently strong is the love of God in Christ. Which brings us to our second point, and that's the application of this love. Again, what fortitude, what conviction this truth has given God's people through the centuries. We've already mentioned Paul, but he said, the love of Christ, this knowledge, this understanding, this love that I have received from God through Christ constrains me. But let me tell you of an early Christian named Chrysostom. He was brought before the Roman emperor and threatened with banishment if he persisted in his Christian faith. Listen to their verbal exchange. "You cannot banish me," Chrysostom boldly addressed the emperor, "for this world belongs to my heavenly Father." "But I will slay you," said the emperor. "You cannot slay me," answered the champion of faith, "for my life is hid with Christ and God." "I will take away your treasures," came the next threat. "No," the Christian answered, "you cannot take away my treasure, for it is in heaven, from which you cannot separate me. There is nothing which you can do to hurt me." Oh, to have the same knowledge. Many centuries later, when Martin Luther was threatened with excommunication from the Roman Catholic Church for his belief in justification by faith alone, when asked to recant, he solemnly said, "Here I stand. God help me. I can do no other. Here I stand. I'm not going to be moved." Friends, these men were convinced that nothing could separate them from the love of God. They knew that Jesus' love preserved them, and what fortitude that gave to them. I think of Christ's high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. Listen to what he prays for you. I'm going to read verses 21 through 23 of John chapter 17. Christ prays to his heavenly Father that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect or mature in one, and that the world may know, notice, that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, frankly, did God the Father love his Son? How many of you would say he did? Don't you think he had an unbelievable, infinite love for his Son? Absolutely. Christ prayed, and he continues to pray, that the same love that the Father has for the Son will be the love that we experience with God. That he will love us with this same love. Christ's effectual praying for this love is seen in the life of George Matheson. Matheson was a 19th century Scottish minister, author, and hymn writer. As a child, he had only partial vision, and his sight became progressively worse until he was totally blind by the age of 18. But despite his blindness, he was a brilliant student and graduated from Glasgow University and later from seminary. After that, he became a pastor of several churches in Scotland. Well, after being engaged to a young woman for a short time, she broke off the engagement because he was blind. But in this painful disappointment, Matheson wrote these words, "O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee." He lost the love of his fiancée, but Matheson knew he could never lose God's love in Christ. And I exclaim, what freedom from fear this reality brings. In the last days, the love of many people is growing cold. It's waxing cold. It seems like today it's every man for himself. Little loyalty, little care. But Jesus still and always will love me. And because of our God is infinite in power and love, we can say with the Apostle John, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. You know, I have an imperfect love, but I'll tell you, I love my children, and I still sacrifice for my children. And if I, with an imperfect love, love my children in that way, what about God with, and I know this might sound trite, but what about God with perfect love? How much he must love you and me? And because our God is infinite in power and love, we can say with Moses, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And we can say with the writer of Hebrews, because our God is infinite in power and love, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. And because our God is infinite in power and love, we can say with David, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 4, verse 8. And so Paul begins Romans 8 by saying, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then he ends this glorious chapter by saying, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, that's life-giving truth. That is life-sustaining truth. That is life-motivating truth. And therefore we end this wonderful study of the Christian's declaration of freedom with the words of the rich hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased above, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I say, abide in the preserving power of Christ's amazing love. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Let his love make you steadfast and immovable in your Christian walk. Friends, this morning, we have seen that there is nothing on the radar screen that can separate us from God's incredible love. I say, let his love conquer, win, and control your heart. And what do I mean by that? Well, we love him because he what? First loved us. And might it be with heart and mind and soul and strength. You know, when you love someone, you want to be with that person. Amen? You want to fellowship with that person. And then you begin to love what that person loves. You want to do things together. And by the way, when you love God, you'll love those whom God loves. You'll love his people. You'll love the souls of men. And by the way, you'll want to be with God's people. I worry about people who no longer want to be with God's people. I love being with you. I love coming to the house of the Lord where I can be with God's people. That is love. That's God's love working through me. So I pray that this love of God will flow through you to your family, to your church family, to all those around you. that your divine love from God through Christ will be so strong that when you're around someone, they know, hey, this person loves me with Jesus' love. And pray earnestly that this love of Christ will win hearts all across this city, this state, this nation, and this world. That we will have a conquering love. That God's love, which has conquered us, our hearts, will flow through us to conquer others with this same love of Christ. May you and I be able to say with Paul, I am convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord.